give you an idea where we're headed here. And in the book of Matthew, in chapter number, let me look and see where I want to go here. Chapter number 26. My Bible, my study Bible, has it broken down into sections, and it tells me what each section is going to be about. Does yours do that, some of you? In chapter 26, verse 1, talks about the religious leaders planning to kill Jesus. Do you think he knew that? Yeah, Jesus knew that, right? Then verse 6 through 13 talks about the ointment, where the lady brought the precious ointment, put that on. Then verse 14, Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Have you ever been betrayed? It hurts. And do you think Jesus knew this? Do you think he knew Judas was about to betray him? Sure he did. All right? Then we get to the Passover meal. Jesus gathers those with him, those 12 with him, and they're going to have Passover. By the way, they still do. Pam and I were able to be in Israel 2 or 3 years ago, and it's still going on. They're still doing this. The Passover meal goes all the way through verse number 25. Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" Jesus even told him, "Thou said." Jesus knew it. And as they were eating, we use these next few verses. I've used them many, many times in our church with our church family for the Lord's Supper. Some people call it communion, whatever you want to call it. But this is what Jesus did and gave us the pattern on what to do. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave the disciples. And then he took the cup. And then when they were all finished, here's what happened. Look at verse 30. This always intrigued me as a musician. I started playing music when I was just a little boy. I went down and said, I'll just start playing. And wonder why everybody can't. It's just what God put in me, and I just do it. But here's what I've often wondered, and I've got the answer I want to help you with. Verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, the question I've had for years and years, and I found the answer is, what did they sing? What was the hymn? Now, you have a beautiful blue hymn book with all those pages. That's not what they had. What was the Jewish, in fact, even today, what is the Jewish hymn book? Anybody know? That's it, the book of Psalms. The whole book of Psalms in your Bible are songs that the Jewish people even sing today. Now, after they sang this hymn, look what happened. Peter, right behind that, vows his loyalty to Jesus. I won't turn back. And you know the story where the rooster crowed and he denied Christ. And it was this terrible thing. But Jesus knew that. Then we find Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We were able to go there. Not everybody that goes to Israel can get in there. It's not owned by the Jews. It's owned by a different group. You have to have connections to be able to get in to the Garden of Gethsemane. And our tour guide, his father, runs it. And so we as a group were able to get in. There were 100 of us in our tour, in our group. And we all got to go in and you walk through those gates and you see all the olive trees. And you know that's where Jesus was. I don't know the exact spot, but somewhere within that rock walls and those olive trees, our Savior walked. And it's sobering. People begin to cry. People begin to pray. Jesus says, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." He took with him Peter, two sons of Zebedee, and began to be. Now, watch what's happening here. Even while Jesus sang this song, he knew it was time coming when he was going to be sorrowful and very heavy. Have you ever been sorrowful? Stay with me, I promise. I'll keep your attention in a minute. And Jesus became sorrowful. You imagine God in the flesh becoming sorrowful. And he was burdened, very heavy. He even said in verse 38, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." He begged those that were closest to him, "Stay here and watch with me. Help me." He comes back, and what did he find? They were asleep. Not like if I don't keep moving, if I get real quiet for 5 minutes, you're going to be gone. We're going to hear snoring in the afternoon. He went a little further, tried again. He asked God, "If this be possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew what was coming. He went back and he found him sleeping again. Now, shortly after that, he was betrayed. Verse 47 and down through there, and he was arrested. And then the rest of the story where he was eventually crucified. Before that, though, They pulled his beard, put the crown of thorns on his head, beat him so he didn't even look like a human being anymore, stripped his clothes off of him. All of these things he knew before they sang that hymn. So what did he sing? It only makes sense that we have to go back to the book of Psalms. So go back with me and I'll show you the Psalms that even today the Jewish people sing at the Passover. Let me get a drink of water here. I always look and see the people put goldfish in my water, so I always take a good look and make sure I can trust the pastor, right? Yeah, come on. We're not going to read all of them, but I'm going to show you where they go. Now, let me explain a little bit about the music in the Jewish land. At the synagogues, they would have steps that would go up. Oops. Boy, I'm glad I did that, because this would be the only church I didn't knock my cane over had I not done that. So there it lay. So we were in the synagogue. Some of them are still there. The ones that believe Jesus actually was in those. And it just changes your life when you go in there and you sit there and just think about that. And there are steps that go up to the temple and go up to the synagogues. And they had some of these songs were called Psalms of Ascension, which means going up. And they'd take one of these chapters and it's a song that they know and they'd sing it on the bottom step. Then they'd get up the next step and they'd sing another psalm. And then they'd get up the next step and they'd sing another psalm and they'd sing songs on those steps until they got into the synagogue. After church, can you imagine what that's like? You get here and you got to sing four or five songs out there. Everybody on a different song, and you're just singing and praising the Lord, and you come in here, and the music's playing, and you're ready for church. By the time you sing six songs before you get in here, praising the Lord, and you're getting your mind focused on what you're going to do, and then when they got done, they had songs of descension, which means when the people left, they'd step on the top and they'd sing a song. Then they'd go down another one and they'd sing another one. Then they'd go down another until they were at the bottom and sang those songs. That's what the book of Psalms is about, a lot of it. When you think about what Jesus was going through, you go to Psalm 113. Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 are the chapters that Jesus and his men sang about. I'll not go through all these chapters except to do this. I want you to understand the mind of Christ as they sung this song, knowing what had happened, what was happening, and what was about to happen to him. In chapter 113, the Jews sing about the high and the glorious Lord. Chapter 114, the theme is tremble at the presence of the Lord. Now imagine singing these before you got into church. At Psalm 115, excuse me, glory to God's name and that I'll trust in the Lord. It also, the theme is the heavens are the Lord's. Chapter 116, beseech God, a gracious Lord, call on the name of the Lord and have a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We're getting ready to have thanksgiving. A lot of turkeys are going to sacrifice, aren't they? Chapter 117, talking about God's mercy and God's truth. Chapter 118, God's mercy. The Lord is on my side. Rejoice and praise the Lord. And so they sung something in these verses. In fact, they still sing these today at Passover in Israel. So it's believed that Jesus sang that day, chapter 116. Look at it with me. I don't know the tune. Have no idea. Most of the tunes to their music is in the minors, the minor keys. And they sound different than what we know. And it is different than what we know. But listen to these words and we'll see that David was also having a bad time. Jesus, during this time, was having a bad time. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And sweat great drops of blood. Sweat was filled with blood. How can that happen? I'll show you in a minute. Look at verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. So far, so good. Verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now watch verse 3. It changes. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me, I found trouble and sorrow. David was having a tough time. These are the words that Jesus sang. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. When my wife was dying of cancer, in our home, we had a hospital bed. We had an oxygen machine, and it was going all day, 24 hours a day. You couldn't get away from it. The sorrows of death were everywhere I looked. She had a tube that ran from that machine all the way to her nose. Are you listening? Stay with me, and I'm almost there. She was on 100% oxygen and couldn't breathe. The cancer smell was in our home. The IV bags and the IV pole was there, and I had to change the IVs and all this stuff. Everywhere I looked, sorrows of death were around me. And Jesus said, sorrows of death have compassed me. They're around me. Whatever, and I don't know what it was, but whatever David was going through, he said the same thing. The sorrows of death compassed me. Then the next phrase is very interesting. He said, the pains of hell got hold on me. I think, now how can that be? There's no flame. There's no fire. Remember what Jonah likened the belly of the whale like? He said, hell. It's like hell. What were they talking about? Here's what it is. The sorrows of death is a physical, I can touch, I can see thing. The pains of hell is a mind torture. Couldn't outrun it. It's in my mind. I can't sleep because of this problem. I can't eat because of this problem. Everywhere I look, everything that's going on, the pains of hell got hold on me. Jesus is telling us, and David is also going through this thing where he said, man, I found sorrow. I've got troubles. Boy, it's a mental anguish. I can't outrun it. I can't get away from it. I'm not eating right. I'm losing weight. I'm getting sick. It's bothering me. Jesus sang this hymn. Look at verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech. What's the word beseech mean? I'm begging you. I'm begging you, God. And the Bible says this. He's begging for him to deliver his soul. Buddy, I'm telling you. You know what pains of hell are when your soul hurts. I call it the dark night of the soul. But look what happens. Between verse 4 and verse 5, something changes. You see, we're going through lots of troubles and heartaches ourselves. We have problems. But when we get to verse 5, he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Well, that's not what I heard in verse 2. Verse number 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully. Wait, this is the same David? This is the same Jesus? This is the same people? Trouble and sorrow found me. Everywhere I looked was death. My mind was just being racked with this problem, and I couldn't get any relief. And now they're saying, God has been so good to me. What happened? I needed to know that because I was surrounded with death. You see, when your loved one is dying, people come and visit and go. But when your loved one is in the process of dying and taking their last breath, that's not when you call in friends. That's when you call in the family. I remember the nurse saying, your wife is about to go. Whoever you want in that room, you need to get them in there, gather all your family. That's rough stuff. David said, hey, listen, I'm going through some rough stuff. Jesus is pointing out to us all through Scripture, hey, it's going to get rough. In fact, Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way, please don't make me go through this. There may be in your life and in mine, we get to a point, God, if there's any other way, please, no more. I've had enough. Enough's enough. How can you expect more? And they sang this song and said, God has dealt bountifully with me. Look what he said. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. That's what David said. Just a few verses before, it was bad stuff. Now look what he says, verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Look at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Look at verse 17. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Will call upon the name of the Lord. All of these things. Between verse 2 and 3 and 4, something that was so bad, we got to verse 5 and it's gracious and righteous and merciful. And what changed? Well, that's where we're at. That's where you are. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that piece of paper I gave you and a pen. And from now forward, you have my permission to write whatever I'm going to give you some instruction, and I want you to write, because in a little while it's going to be your turn to talk. And it's going to be fun, I promise. Here's what changed in David's life, and here's what helps me when I go through tough times and the sorrows of, when they come in and say death is on the table. They came in the last time and the hospital said, sir, we can't do anything for you. If we touch you, said, we have to dig your heart out of the bones to even help you, and you'll bleed out on the table. There's no hope. We cannot help you. The sorrows of death. I looked at my wife, and she looked at me and our other family that was there, and it was, now what? And we got a lifeline helicopter coming, and problems are happening. And I tell you, it's no fun being in the helicopter, but I think it's just as bad if you're the loved one standing on the ground and that helicopter takes off and it's your loved one that's in it. You're waving goodbye. Either way, the sorrows of death, the pains of hell got hold on me. What's going to happen here? How's this going to play out? What are we going to do here? And I found something that David did that's helped me so much. And I'm spending the rest of my days, ever how much I have left, helping people like you with the same situation. Here's what I want you to write. On the top of your paper, you can have it this way. You can have it, I don't care how you do it. It's your paper. You're going to take it home. And you're going to hopefully keep doing what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to write on the top of your paper, I love the Lord because. That's all I want you to write. Put it at the top of your paper. I love the Lord because. Now, David gives us some reasons. He was having a tough time. The sorrows of death, the pains of hell, the terror that was in his mind, the troubles and sorrows. And yet, we see through troublesome times and see times of uncertainty and scary times. Folks, we're not supposed to be fearful. That's the message in the Bible, fear not. All the way through, fear not. Why would he have to say that? Because we're human and we're going to become afraid of something. We're living in scary days, in scary times. What's going to happen? How far is this thing going to go before Jesus comes back? And look what David did. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on why I love God. And so he begins to list why he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord, he said, because he heard my voice. He hears me. So number one, David put on there, I love God because he hears me. That's what he put. Now you can put that if you want. If you love the Lord because he hears you personally, put it on your paper. This is your paper. David said, I love the Lord because he has inclined his ear, which means he listens to me. Do you ever have somebody you're talking to and they heard you but they didn't listen? They hear you going, what'd you say? Okay. They heard, but they didn't listen. God not only hears you, he listens to you. He wants to hear you. When I got home from the hospital at 3:30 in the morning after my wife had gone to heaven with two boys, I had a 13-year-old and a 9 or 10-year-old. We got home at 3:30 in the morning. We didn't have cell phones. That was 1995. I had a box like this sitting on my desk in my office at home. It was an answer machine. Remember those old-fashioned things they called answer machines? And when there was a message, the light would flash. Remember that? I got home and I looked and that light was flashing. And she died on her birthday. And so people had called in and were singing happy birthday to her. And I'm listening to that and crying. And then it came to me. She's the one that put the message on this thing. Hello, you've reached the diocese. I'm sorry we can't come to the phone right now. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you put your own message. And I thought, wow, I want to hear her voice. I pushed that button and I listened and I heard. I pushed that button again. And I sat there and just kept pushing that button. Did I expect the message to change? No. Then why would I keep hitting it? You got it. I wanted to hear her voice. And God says, listen, I already know what you're going to say. I just want to hear you say it. Your ask starts the process. And God loves to hear you. And David said, I love the Lord because He listens to me. He hears me. David put that on his paper. It's right here. This is his paper. I called it on the Lord. Look, He's gracious, verse number 5. I love the Lord because He's righteous. I love the Lord because He's merciful. I love the Lord because He helps the simple. I love the Lord because He helped me. Do you see what David's doing? He forgot about the troubles of sorrow. He forgot about the pains of hell got hold on him. He's now thinking about, by the way, are you writing? You need to be writing, why do you love the Lord? What's He done for you? What's your list going to look like? Oh, I keep adding to my list. This is something I do often. I keep adding and adding why I love the Lord. And so he says, He's dealt bountifully with me. He's helped me. He delivered me from death. He delivered me from tears. He delivered me from falling. These are the things that David is saying. So he changed the whole thing from the sorrows of death and the pains of hell and trouble and sorrow to I love the Lord because. The psalmist gives us all sorts of reasons. I begin to put some of mine down as well. I love the Lord because He first loved me. I wouldn't know what love is unless He'd loved me first and told me what love is. Are you writing? Putting something down on your paper? Why do you love God? You personally. Why do you love Him? I love Him because He chose me. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. I love the Lord because He called me. He wants me to do something for Him. Oh, I'm honored. A lot of times when I would say to any of our people, hey, can you do me a favor? And they'd say, what is it? See, they got to know what it is before they say yes or no. When God comes to me and says, would you do me a favor? It's yes, sir. I don't care. I don't care where it is, whatever you want me to do, consider it done. I love you because you called me and you gave me what I need to do, whatever it is that you want me to do for you. Yes. I don't have to think about it. I love the Lord because He saved me. Hello? I'm glad I'm saved. Aren't you glad you're saved this afternoon? Did you write that on your paper? Write something down. I keep thinking. Are you thinking? It'll keep you awake. Preacher's back there sleeping. But I'm just kidding. But you're thinking, writing it down. Boys and girls, are you writing it down? I love the Lord because why? What did He give you? What did He do for you? He said He's dealt bountifully. That means He's given me blessing after blessing. Blessing upon blessing. And we keep looking around at the blessings. And David said, hey, God is gracious. God is good. God is wonderful. I love Him because He hears me. I love Him because He holds me. I love Him because He guides me. Talked about it this morning. He'll direct you. He'll direct your path. I love Him because He helps me. I'm amazed at what God does for me. You getting it? You seeing it? All right. Now, I want somebody to raise your hand and tell me one thing that's on your paper. Why do you love the Lord? Yes, ma'am. He loved me when I was unloving. Somebody else? Yes. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Yes. I'm sorry? He gave you the wife you deserve. Awesome. Yes, sir. Gives us what we don't deserve. Yes, little one. Save me. Yes. How old are you? Wow. 7 years old. And she said, I love the Lord, Pastor, because He saved me. Now, hey, don't get any better than that. Amen. Who cares about sorrow, troubles, problems, and trials? Who cares? He saved me. this is as bad as it's going to get for us. We'll never see a second in hell. All that's waiting on us is heaven. Oh, what a wonderful time. He saved you. Somebody else, I saw another hand. Yes, sir.
I love him because his answers are better for me than mine.
His answers are better than mine. Hello? They're better for us. Yes, sir. Somebody else. Yes. Give you a church to attend and a good one, too. Young man, the joy of heaven is all ours. Can you only imagine? Yes. The comfort? Yes, absolutely. Boy, I'll tell you, he gives comfort like nobody. Yes, Pastor. Songs in the night. How important is that? Songs in the night. Yes, sir. Even though we fail him many times, he forgives us. Never runs out of forgiveness, does he? Yeah. Or grace. He gives us grace. Paul went to him three times and said, please take us away. And he said, I can't, but I'm not going to do that because what I'm going to give you will be more valuable to you than if I took that away. And there are a lot of times, even in my life, and people that I love and know, where had God directly answered that prayer, let me explain. What were you praying for a year ago and God answered it? No clue. Except for if I still have the problem and God gave me the grace to endure, I remember the grace. It was more important for me to have that grace than the answer to prayer that I wanted. Hello? He gives us grace. Somebody else. Just raise your hand. Yes. He's never changes. He's always the same. He's faithful. Are you seeing what's happening here? Everybody, even the little ones, we're all getting it. I love the Lord because... Somebody else, raise your hand. Yes. Forgiving us His Word. Where would we be without this? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. He gave us the Bible. Somebody else, did you have your hand? Oh, you went like this. That counts. What you got on your paper? Guidance, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to do this or scratch your nose because I'll get it, all right? Yes, ma'am. He upholds us. He does. Anybody here ever had trouble and sorrows in your life? Oh, yeah, we have. But we're not thinking about that now. Where do problems go? Yes. Yes. Gives honor and glory. Yes, ma'am. That's right. No matter where we're at, if it's in a hospital room with a heart attack. We learned last night that she had a heart, had no idea. I didn't know. Got a lot in common. And some of the others I met have that, no matter where we are. When I'm going through them double doors, you know, family's over here and I got to go back there. I said, Lord, you promised. You won't leave me. You won't forsake me. Jesus on the cross said, my God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? And God's made you and I the promise that will never happen to us. What a promise. Somebody else. I saw another hand. Yes.
We were just talking before the service began about this person said, thank God he takes away our memories.
Well, don't he?
Yeah. We thank God for taking away the memory of his bad.
Yes, exactly right. Yes. They'll ask me on a 1 to 10, how bad is it? And I said 15, you know, or whatever. But I don't remember that now. You're exactly right. And thank God for that. I've had no one's ever said that to me. That's awesome. Yes, sir, in the back. Yes, he is. He's our refuge. He's where we run to. He's our strength. He's how we make it. David said, I want to give you something. You're going to have troubles and it's going to be hard. But let me show you how to get through them. I love the Lord because, and you're doing the same thing David did. He took a piece of paper, somehow on a scroll, and he began writing the words that God put on his heart. And he began to think about why I love God, and this is what we're doing. Somebody else, yes. Gave you your children, yes. Uh-huh. He gives us true peace and true joy, and that's what the world is looking for. They want peace and joy. Truth, yes, right here, young lady. He protects us, he sure does. Absolutely, yes, sir. He does pray for us. Yes, he does. Yes, ma'am. He gave you your life, children and a husband. Awesome. That's it. Young lady. Gave you your niece? Awesome. Do you love your sisters? How about your brothers? Most of them? All of them? Little, she's doing, you get older. Are you the youngest one in the family? Oh, man. You take everything out of that you can get. I mean, just wring it out. Spoil. Yes. When you fall, he picks you up. These are the children. You Sunday school teachers wonder, did they get it? They're writing this themselves. Nobody's telling them. They're doing it. You see it? All right? Somebody else. So, yes. No respect for persons. None. I remind him of that. Now, Lord, remember when you sent down fire? In fact, we were on that mountain. And there's a big statue of Elijah calling down fire. And I was up there, and I thought I would be okay. I did not realize the trip to Israel is a trip. It's not a vacation. It's rough. The walking is rough. The paths are rough. There's nothing made for handicapped people. And I didn't take my cane. And I thought, you know, I'll make it. And boy, by the time we got up that mountain to where Elijah called down fire, I was huffing and puffing and looking for anything to lean on, anything. And I'm standing there, and the tour guide's telling all the people how where Elijah was and how he called down the fire. And I'm standing at the back huffing and puffing and said, Lord, I don't need any fire. I just need a stick. I need a cane. I can't find one. And one of the guys that was with me saw me struggling, and he came over to me. He's a good friend. He said, Brother Dice, do you need a cane? I said, yes. He said, look over to that olive tree. And I looked over to the olive tree, and there was a olive branch that was somebody had taken off and smoothed it down. It had a little fork on it, and it was just my height. It looked like a walking stick. And I walked over there, and I looked around, and I looked around, and I said, Lord, either this is a temptation, an answer to prayer one, and I'm going to take it as an answer to prayer. And I took that stick, and I used that stick the whole time we were in Israel. We really went into the marketplaces, and the market owners would come out and try to buy my stick. I don't know, other than the Lord, I got that home on the airplanes during all this security stuff. And I tell them the story, you know. And I say, Elijah prayed down fire. I prayed down a stick. Here's my stick. And our God is so big that He can reach down to the lowest of us. No respect for persons. And He gave Elijah what he needed, and He gave me what I needed. And that was a blessing to the whole group. Everybody saw me with that stick. And they'd watch as we went through the airport, see if I'd get it through. And I said, I'm not worried about it. God gave it to me. God can get this through. I didn't have to put it underneath. I took it with me on the plane. Hello? Why? Because God's no respecter of person. I said, if you'll answer, I didn't care what it was. You answer His prayer, you can answer my prayer. You can answer His prayer. Yeah. What a God. I still have my stick. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't fold up like this when it's not as fancy, but it's an olive. And you're not supposed to be able to take them out of the country. God answered a prayer of a little preacher that was huffing and puffing on top of the mountain. Mount Carmel, I believe is where it was. God gave me a stick. What a God. You know, I'm standing there, and it was just my height that I could stand there and put this hand, just do this and rest standing up until I fell asleep and fell over. And it had that little thing on there that I could put, you know, my jacket. It got too hot. I'd take my coat off and I'd put it on that little fork. Oh, everybody wanted my stick. I said, God gave that. Now, I don't know who put it there. Somebody's mighty mad because when they came back to get their stick, it was gone. Somebody else. You're thinking of stories. You're thinking of things. Why you love the Lord? Yes. I'm sorry, say it again. He made us a joint heir with Jesus. That's the truth. Somebody else? Yes. Gave you a new life. He did, didn't He? I found the answer. I knelt to pray. David said, let me show you how this is going to work. Now, because you've put all this on your paper, I don't even have to ask you, do you love Jesus? Because if you didn't love Jesus, you wouldn't be here at nap time. Hello? Yeah. You're going to go home, take a nap before you go to bed. I think that's what every man ought to do, take a nap before you go to bed. I found the recipe of taking naps. Be old and sit down. That's it.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Just be old and sit down. I used to hate naps, but now I can't wait. Hello? Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. But David said, no, let me show you how to make it. Jesus chose this very chapter to show us how to make it. Two of the greatest overcomers in the Bible are Jesus and David. David's saying, look, let me tell you what it's all about. It's about being thankful for everything God's done for you. Not only being thankful, but acknowledging it, writing it down, saying, God, I am thankful. I've got lists and lists and lists. I'm thankful for the thermostat, wherever it is in here. It keeps the tip over there. I don't have to turn it up and down. I'm thankful I've got a furnace. I'm thankful I've got a water heater. Hello? That water heater sits in that old dirty, dusty basement and just produces hot water so you can enjoy it. You ought to go home and kiss your water heater. Just don't burn your lips. Hello? I love the Lord because He's provided me with everything I need. In fact, if I went home today and kept in the house what I needed and took everything else out that I just wanted and set it on the front porch, we'd have to have a bigger front porch. God not only gives me my needs, He gives me the desires of my heart. Sometimes I pray for Him, sometimes I don't. And God just keeps blessing and blessing. And David said, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, that being said, let me wrap this up. Because David was so in love with Jesus, he said, this is what I'm going to do for Him. I want to ask you a question. What will you do for Him? Because you've been listing on your paper what He's done for you. David said, I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. When I go to work tomorrow, people are going to know I love the Lord. I'm going to walk for Him. I'm going to live for Him in the land of the living, not the land of the dead. People in the cemetery don't care how much you love the Lord. It's the people you work with. It's the people you talk to. It's the people we're around all the time. They need to know there's something different about us. Why? Because we love the Lord. It's not a bunch of rules. Listen to me, you children. It's not a bunch of rules. All that we do because the Bible tells us to is because of what God's done for us. He loves us. And because He loves me, He's given me a wonderful book called the Bible. I love Him, so I want to read my Bible. I don't read my Bible because Daddy tells me to and I got to sign a little chart. Although that's a plan, that's a good plan. There's nothing wrong with that plan. But when you get to the point of reading your Bible because you love Him so much, God, what can I do for you? He said, I'll bless you real good if you'll just read the Bible. Come on, there'll be some amens here. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to give. I'm going to pray. When we have songs, I'm going to sing. You see, I'm going to dress and act like a Christian ought to dress and act. Not because the pastor said that's the way it is, but because I love Jesus, here's what I'm going to do. What would be on your list? David gave us his list. David said, here's what I'm going to do. In verse 12, he said, what shall I render or give unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Here's what he said. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to have a relationship with my Father. It's not just going to be a Friday night date. It's going to be a consistent relationship with the Lord because I love Him. When I met Pam a year or so after Linda had died and gone to heaven, she'd write me a note or send me a text, and I'm telling you, everything stopped. Is it her? It's her! I'd pull off the side of the road, see what she want. And boy, she'd text me. She'd say, send more money, you know. She's still doing that. Hello? Oh, everything would stop. And when I'm going through the day and I'm thinking, you know, I want to know, I'm going to think about why I love the Lord. Sooner or later, I'm going to run to this book and say, God, I just want to know more. I just love You so much. This is a love letter from the Lord. I'm going to walk with You. I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to do what it is you want me to do because I love you. Now, here's the challenge. You ready? I want you to take that paper home with you in a little bit. Put it where you'll see it. Boys and girls, maybe you can get some tape from Mom or Dad. Stick it on your door. Or where we go often, and that's the refrigerator. Hello? Put it right there. If God did not want us to eat at night, He would not have put a light bulb in the refrigerator. Right? Come on, guys. That's good right there. Yeah. I'm going to preach this book. You're the light of the light, you know, all that kind of stuff. And every time you go by, I want you to be thinking about it. Tuesday night, you bring those papers back and show your pastor what's on those papers. Pastor, I just want you to see. Look, there's 26 things on my paper. I never thought about it before. I'm telling you, it'll change your thinking. I love the Lord because you fill in the blank. That's where it starts. That's where we're at. I love the Lord. I am so thankful. This is the day of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, all of that. This is the day we're focused on giving thanks. And I'm giving you a tangible, touchable way that you can actually give thanks to Him like David did in the Bible. You write it down. And then you go back and you review that. And you keep that list going. And then you keep that list going. And a week from now, you think of another one. You keep that list going. And you watch that list grow. And when you come to the sorrows of death around you and the troubles of hell get hold of you and trouble and sorrow finds you, get your list out. And start remembering the things that you put on your paper and reliving those, blessing after blessing. You see, it can be a double blessing. You were blessed when you got it, and now you can be blessed when you remember it. And then another blessing. We're getting it? Father, we love you. Lord, I pray for these dear people.